is good to be back. I know we took a break. The boys were off on a little travel weekend. We had some stuff going on. There was football on TV. We're going to talk about all of that and a whole lot more. Jack Gervais is playing in the Super Bowl. What is going on? Tom Brady's retired? 290 brought to you by DRF Sports. Woo! A lot to talk about, including some questionable journalism. We're going to get into it. You know what it is. Let's have a day. Let's go.
Welcome back, Washington Walk-Ons fans, episode 290 of the podcast. And I didn't exactly know what I was going to come on here and talk about when I started this, but then Kevin got on and he was looking fine as fuck. And I feel like one of those girls from across the bar that's trying to like show her tits just enough to get this dude's attention so that he comes over and tries to get with her. So to be honest, man, Kevin, you got to stop showing up looking so damn pretty.
Well, I mean, if you're gonna show your tits, then I'm just gonna keep showing up like this, man. So.
That's really fair,
man. I wouldn't give up this podcast for the world, man. I wouldn't.
You have a number. Everybody has a number for everything.
Well, okay. Well, if we really want to get into it, I would sell out. I'd sell out for a. Probably smaller fee than most would respect me for, but
hey, I'd sell out for a 3-round fight with each of these beat writers.
Oof. And they are on the agenda tonight, boys. We've got a lot to talk about. Oh my. I want to start with before we get to some fucking drama BS, which is great that our show allows us to talk about it. And we can just say whatever we want because we don't have some editor or publisher or boss who's like, sorry, you're fired because you said this or you said that. Like, we can literally, I mean, if you listen to DHT, Drake's putting some incriminating shit out there.
Wowza. Hey, DHT is on the down low, people. No snitches.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kevin, you would not be proud of DHT.
No, it just makes me want to go check the Discord for my weekly check, see what crazy shit is going on in there.
Yeah, man. It's oof. The Discord's like a debrief of DHT every week. So right before I got on this podcast, Drake sent us a Snapchat of the maple-soaked pancake Jenny's ice cream. I am a massive Jenny's ice cream fan. For any of you lucky... Dude.
Jenny's is the king, aka the queen of all ice creams, bar none. I've eaten a lot of ice cream, more than Clover. And I ate a pint a day for 100 days, dude. That's why my gut's all fucked up. You can't touch that.
Lifetime, I have you smoked, bro.
No, you don't. Because growing up, we each ate a ton of ice cream. And then in college, you might have eaten a little more ice cream, but I've already caught up.
Okay, I'm not even going to argue, but okay. I would agree. Jenny's is the Tom Brady of ice cream. Though they 100%. Don't, but they don't have the 22-year legacy of Tom Brady, who in fact is actually on the fucking agenda tonight as well. Because for the first time in over two decades, we will watch NFL football next year. And Tommy will not be in uniform, which is...
That's honestly heartbreaking to think about.
It's wild.
He's been, I mean, the level that he's performed at for all these years, it's truly been like we have been absolutely spoiled to get to watch that guy for 22 years, but it is super surreal that it's over.
Yeah.
Like, time is undefeated, which is a son of a bitch because it was fun to watch him play football.
And that's the thing, man. It's almost like I think if he wanted to, he still got 3 years left in him. Physically,
dude, he was a top five MVP candidate this year for sure. He might have even been top three. Like, he threw for an insane amount of touchdowns and yards.
You guys know.
And he was still playing at a high level.
Oh, the highest level. Now, he does need – he has some absolute needs. Like, he has to have an elite offensive lineman because he can't – you know, like, if Tom Brady's playing in that game where the Titans sack Joe Burrow 9 times, well, Tom Brady's broken the next day. So
right.
And Tom evolved over the years to, you know, to get really good at throwing it away or just going down to a knee, you know, just kind of like taking it. And he also was so good that wherever he went, they were going to pack a wall in front of him, build the wall. But yeah, man, he was good. And I always admired him so much. I love greatness. I love watching LeBron. I love watching Tom. I love watching anybody who's the best at what they do. And I was always really, really jealous of like the people who grew up in the 90s and were not, you know, we were born in 94, were there to watch Jordan play basketball, like see him on TV. You know, we see highlights and stuff, but we never got to, you know, we were not there during the years, the glory years. So to see Tom, that's our Jordan. And you guys, yeah. I mean,
it's the end of an era. I think ESPN put a graphic out, like Ben's gone, Eli's gone, Peyton's gone, Philip Rivers gone, Drew Brees is gone. And now Tom, like the era of football that we grew up watching is over.
Gone.
It's a new age. It's a new age in the NFL.
And the weirdest part is the guys who are all taken over are guys that we played against.
Are either our age or sometimes younger.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Which
is a very bizarre stage of life to be in, dude. That we just got to the older than the NFL age.
Yeah. I recognized it a couple years ago with the NBA because the NBA is so young. Basketball players develop just – you don't physically have to. It's a different game. And I don't know what the average NBA player age is, but it's definitely younger than 27, like what we are. And I started recognizing like, oh, all the guys on the court right now are, unless it's the Lakers who are like average age of 34 and are washed. These guys are 23 years old. And we're older than them. Like, it's so odd to watch that. But as you guys know, I mean, and we've talked about it on here, even 4.5 years, you know, 9 semesters at Iowa, and it starts to take a little toll on you mentally, that schedule, that grind, physically, you know, Drake was damn near broken. I mean, he was broken.
All the pros say that being a college athlete's way harder than being a pro.
It's got to be because you don't have the resources to.
When we were at Iowa, so the linebackers came back and they were always talking about how, oh, we feel way better now than we did when we played at Iowa.
Well, dude, I mean, there's a few things that go into that. One, you're not practicing as hard. Practices aren't as physical at the next level.
Yep.
But two, you just think about the whole year round. NFL, you got a lot of time away from the complex, away from the building in the off season. You think about from end of the season, whether that be in December, if you don't make the playoffs, or say you win the Super Bowl, it's February. They're not reporting again until what?
Late April. And it's only for a couple days.
For a couple of weeks. It's like a couple of weeks. But
okay, a couple of weeks.
And then you're not there again until camp.
So. Right, July. So
that, and you know, you don't have to worry about school. So you can spend the entire time just focusing on your body.
The pro aspect is something I'm so jealous of, man. Like if we would have been able to just, and I know Drake is too, and Drake's kind of living that out now. Like, I don't know if we call him a pro MMA guy yet, but I mean, you're kind of.
Dude, I'm as amateur as they get. I just know how to fight.
No, I'm saying you train though, like, and you don't have, like, you're not taking classes right now, right? And
sure.
And so you take the mental stress off the plate, right? You're only worried about football. You're to an extent in college. I mean, you're beating the shit out of your body because you're still growing, you're developing. So you're trying to. I'll tell you this. Anybody, here's some enlightening for those that don't know. The guys who are in the NFL, they're not fucking trying to get a whole lot stronger, right? They're not all the time
trying to move faster.
They're just trying to stay healthy
and trying to maintain.
Yeah, and be lethal at where they're at. You know, they're not doing a ton of like peak speed cycles, right? Fucking Tyreek Hill, sure, he works out. He's not trying to put any time on his 40 nowadays. They're training for longevity because the paycheck depends on it. And so that's one issue. But then they also, you add on the fact that the minimum salary, sure, after taxes, it's cut in half. But you're looking at $600,000 to $700,000. You have the resources to get a massage once or twice a week. You got Normatec recovery boots. You got a fucking cold plunge, sauna, every recovery tactic in the book that's potentially out there, you have access to. And that,
you know, these hiring guys, they got their own chefs and stuff. They got their own personal trainers, all that stuff.
It's unbelievable.
You know, not taking away from anything that Tom Brady did, because 22 years of doing it is still incredible.
Insane.
I don't care what position you play. Being a kicker for 22 years is ridiculous.
Yeah, Vinatieri.
Yeah, seriously. You couldn't do it at the level which you have to put yourself through at the college level.
No, never. Yeah, that's just a different life. And it's, man, TB12, man. He literally, I mean, it's so crazy to see. I'm sure you guys have seen it on Instagram or Twitter, his headshots each year and the evolution from when he came in as a rookie. I mean, he looks 100 times better than he did when he came in from college.
He was a round faced fat boy in college.
Yeah. He was, you know,
he looked like he had a few Bud Lights in the old frat house back in the day.
Bro. Yeah. Drake, he was, you know what he was? Is he was uniquely ugly.
He was uniquely ugly.
And now
he's sexy, dude. Yeah. He's hotter than Kevin.
Right. He's Kevin, you know, they elicit the same response when Kevin's wearing the white button down t-shirt, top button undone, show a little bit of that neck, you know? So Tom Brady, man, going out on top.
How about the asshole NFL insiders ruining his retirement announcement?
So bad.
Big move.
I mean, is there anything more bitch? Like, just let the guy do it himself, huh?
Like, Schefter, do you get paid money to tweet that thing? Do you get paid to make that tweet?
No, he doesn't.
Shut up your asshole, wait a day, and let everyone else find out, all right?
Yeah, I don't know. It's the world we live in.
It's scum.
It is. Tom Brady.
That's perfect segue into the beat writers, by the way.
You're right. Let's go into it. And let me pull up our friend. So, you know, we talked a little bit about Vanessa Miller on DHT, and we don't need to get into that, right? There was some things said.
No snitches.
And today there was the first press conference for the, let's call it the 2022 football season, right? They're in full swing. The boys are sore right now, by the way. They're full force GPP. Although, are they sore, Kevin? Because on social
media, are they sore?
They're playing fucking dodgeball. Okay? Social media accounts tweeting out quotes from the movie with Vince Vaughn. When did this turn into the fucking patty cake jump house? We bring in the slip and slide on Fridays.
Hey, correct me if I'm wrong. The boys got back in the complex 2 weeks ago. Week and a half in.
Yes.
This is prowler season. You should be pushing prowlers right now. This is bullshit.
They should be wobbling from the trash can over to call it up so that Ray can break it down. And then you know what happens is everybody walk, you kind of buck up. You're like, all right, you caught your breath. You walk over. Next group standing right there. Hey, and everybody's kind of looking at each other, giving you the side eye. Hey, how'd it go? How was it? And you look at them and you just say, that wasn't that bad. Wasn't that bad. You'll do fine. And you're lying. You're fucking lying. At least if you're Tyler Kluver, you were lying. Okay. And I think I was a beacon of light when we played, because everybody in that next group saw that if the fat fucking diabetic long snapper could get through these Prowler workouts, well, then God damn it, I can too. Right? I was a beacon. I was a sign of hope for the rest of our team. Now, on the other side of that, when I watched all of the elite athletes who had stars by their name when they came out of high school, when they did the workout and they didn't look like they were just feeling so hot, well, that didn't give me a lot of confidence, right? And so there's a lot of anxiety. But yeah, that's the season we're in right now. And I don't know. It looks like they're playing games.
To be fair, though, how much do you guys miss playing the t-shirt game?
Oh, t-shirt game's elite.
T-shirt game is so much fun.
I miss playing the game where they threw the balls out and you got to go scoop one and not get the...
What was that? That was Escape from Saigon, right?
Yes, I miss Escape from Saigon bad.
Yeah, that was a fun one.
I forgot about that one. Damn,
so I was good at that game.
Explain.
For those listening, it's two guys. And the coach is going to...
We did it. We took a lacrosse ball. We did it with teams. There was one representative from each team in the off season, and they would throw three balls or they would throw four balls or something. It was usually like three. And you couldn't get tagged inside of the zone with the ball. So guys, if they were about to juke somebody or something, they would throw the ball up or they would throw the ball down, juke, pick it back up, run. So it was off season points.
There was one-on-one. There's a one-on-one version and a team version, similar to the t-shirt game.
Okay. So the one-on-one version is coach tosses the lacrosse ball 20, 30 yards out of the field. You're both chasing after it. The goal is, if you get the ball first, is to get back to the line without getting touched. If you don't get the ball first, is to tag the other guy. It was a lot of fun.
And a lot
t-shirt
of the
game is when you take your t-shirt off, tuck it in the back of your shorts, and basically it's like tag, except you got to grab each other's t-shirts.
Yes, and it got intense.
It got physical sometimes.
Yeah, several times, like you bump heads, you headbutt each other, fucking run right through people. The team version got real physical because you're pushing people into corners and shit. All of these games were done at like the end of a skills and drills, right? Yeah.
Or sometimes they're just done at the end of speed session
or end of the warm up speed session. So
yeah, just because coaches wanted to get it, have some fun.
The reason we even played handball a couple times. The reason we played these games is because, and DeMarco is on the fucking cutting edge of this, of course. The biggest factor, especially for a defensive player, but it's huge for offensive players as well, is reactive agility.
Mm-hmm.
And that means, you know, why is it so hard to play defense, especially corner, right? Because you're out there on your own. You're supposed to keep that guy from getting the ball. He knows where he's going and you don't, right? So you have to react. So we did a lot of reaction drills and that was, you know, they found ways to play games and it was super fun. And
yeah. And it made it fun for the guys. Guys look forward to it. It's a good time.
Yeah. And then there was always tug of war, of course, as well. And
I love the one-on-one tug of wars too. Those were always pretty hype.
Well, it just got so intense. Like the team, like you're putting the team on your back. You're literally saying, this is like, I get points if I win this tug of war. And it's just straight up, can I pull this guy across the line or not?
Yeah. And everybody's watching you.
And if you were out there, you were usually chosen by your team.
Correct.
Yeah. So it was like, hey, we're nominating our warrior.
Hey, you're going out there. Don't fuck us.
Yeah. Don't lose us points. Yeah. And speaking of points, if you want to bet on point spreads, money lines, other stuff, whatever your heart desires, Washup Walk-Ons is proud to partner with DRF Sports in the new year. DRF Sports is every bettor's dream with exclusive data, betting trends, analytics, and expert advice all in one easy-to-use place. And for Iowa residents, it gets even better. You can download the DRF Sportsbook app and place your bets all in the same place. And when you sign up today, use promo code DRFWashedUp and also receive a $500 risk-free bet. All these places, they got these promos. All you can, $500 risk-free? Come on now. DRF are hooking the people up.
and you need to get in on the ride. DRF Sports also offers a free-to-play sports predictor app, DRF Crack. Jesus, I can't talk. Cash Grab. DRF Cash Grab is available in the App Store and Google Play Store and is 100% free. Just download, start predicting, and win real money. DRF Sports, bet smarter. We also want to let you guys know that the show is supported by AdCraft. If you guys have been paying attention, when we have run our recent apparel over the last, oh gosh, it's been over a year now, we've been using AdCraft out in Clinton, Iowa, homegrown for our apparel and merch, and they really do it all. There's a lot of points that they've sent me to talk about, right? They've jumped on board, helped us advertise, but guys, I mean, you guys know Drake, Kevin. AdCraft has been a godsend for us. We had some serious issues in the beginning when we were selling merchandise, and there were some problems. For those that have been long around long enough, you guys know that we basically had to refund like over $30,000 worth of orders the first time we went through this. And AdCraft has picked up the slack that other companies have hassled us with, and they have, God, they're just so smooth. And as you guys go on, as we do these promos and these ad reads for them, I will touch on all of their bullet points, but I'm telling you guys, they've made the process of creating designs and coming out with merchandise and handling the licensing BS that we've had to go through, their relationship with the licensing department at the University of Iowa. It's been absolutely insane how smooth of a process they have down over there. And they're amazing. And they have a ton of features, and they can help you today. AdCraft is the trusted source for the custom merchandise for many, including the Wash Up Walk-Ons, Grandview University Football, Nestle, Purina, ADM, and much more. AdCraft custom merch web store service is great for high school sports, booster clubs, athletic club teams, companies, and much more. Visit www.adcraftwebstores.com to bring your custom merch to life. That's www.adcraftwebstores.com. Go Hawks. All right, let's talk about this bullshit real quick. Back to the press conference. KF got up there, talked. He said a bunch of stuff. If you want to watch it, it's on YouTube. They always stream it. God, I mean, just there's a couple bad apples, and I see and I get tagged and I get sent messages about Rob Ho and Pat Hardy all the time. And again, I don't know them personally. I only see an aggregate of, you know, people talking about them and their stuff. And it just doesn't seem like very good stuff, man. David Eicholt, who we've had on this podcast, obviously reports on the Hawkeyes. Let me see if I can pull up the exchange that I retweeted. It was right here. And I did not know at the time that this was Rob Howe asking the question. Question, what's your reaction to David's recommendation that after 18 months that he felt like it was best if you stepped down? That's heavy. Kirk, the head man, the king, as Drake calls him, responds, well, it's not heavy. It's an opinion. And obviously everybody is entitled to their opinions. I'm not thinking in those terms, if that's what you're asking, not even remotely. Howe asks again, how do you react to something like that? KF says, I didn't have much reaction. I read it and that's his opinion. There's not much to react to other than I have a different opinion. My intention is long-term and big picture, not short-term. Everyone's allowed to have an opinion. At this point, KF has said it's his opinion and everyone's entitled to their opinion three or four times in four different ways. Fucking guy comes back with, it's not alarming that he feels that way. I mean, now we're prying. We're digging. You're looking for more than there is. The guy answered your question fucking twice. And you're not friends. You're not there to have a chat. You're there to ask him questions. He gives you an answer. You write it down. You go back to your fucking nook and cranny and you write it down with your pencil. Okay. And you report to all the people that don't fucking read your articles. Okay. He says,
Is it not alarming that he feels that way? KF response, no, it's his opinion. He says again, or why he feels that way? KF responds, no, it's his opinion. And then somebody else chimes in with something at the end there. I retweeted that. Again, didn't know who wrote it, or who asked the question. I said, that's embarrassing. Are we trying to report, or are we digging for personal agenda? I also said, like, KF is goated just for not telling that whoever asked this question to shove their recorder up their ass. I got a little bit Drake-ish. All right. I brought the Drake out on Twitter today.
I mean, that's just elite level of, I don't know what the right word is. Just
cuckery.
Sure.
Here's where it really becomes. So then literally afterwards, people are tweeting at me that the clip, and then obviously people know what Rob sounds like, and it's him, right? No surprise. So I'm like, oh, well, that makes sense. I didn't say anything else about it. Rob tweets 3 hours ago. We'll talk about questions asked at today's Iowa football press conference on tomorrow's podcast that he does with Scott Docterman. I'd rather not engage in the drama on here. It's draining and unproductive, in my opinion. I'll leave that for others. Okay. Here's the issue, bud. And again, I don't have any issue with you personally. I'll let you live your life. Don't care.
Dude, I got an issue.
But
Drake has an issue.
That's the most fucking hypocritical thing I've ever read in my life. The audacity for that fucking guy to tweet, I'd rather not engage in the drama on here. It's draining and unproductive. After he just asked those questions to the head coach of a fucking football team who's gone through what he has in the last 3 years, does he not think that being asked those questions over and over doesn't feel draining and unproductive to Coach Ferentz? Holy shit, bud.
I mean, you're talking about the guy who has spewed out so much bullshit on Twitter and then comes back and says, I don't find that productive. What are you doing, bud? What have you been doing for the past 3 years?
I mean, it's fucking tough. Guys,
one of these days, Kluver, I'm going to pull up through Iowa, roll through Des Moines, pick up that media pass that you got. I'm going to stroll right in on a Tuesday afternoon. I'm going to go up to Rob Hall, I'm going to spit in his face and smack him in his fucking mouth.
And honestly, he'd deserve it.
And we're probably going to be cutting that segment right there.
Nah, it's all good, but he probably deserves it.
He acts like such a bitch.
I'm okay with – you know, I'm okay letting him do what he does, report on what he wants to report on. He clearly has an agenda that's slid one way, and that's fine. He can do that, right? But the hypocrisy.
Hall of Fame level was straight from our man KF.
And
Hall of Fame level.
And KF's never gonna, you know, he's never gonna bite back because he's just so clean. He's that kind of guy. Which makes it even worse that you're trying to do that to that kind of guy. It's tough, man. Yeah. Ooh. Anyway, those maple soaked pancake ice cream, man. How was it? Is it the best flavor you've had?
No, the gooey cinnamon roll is still the best. So
really,
Jenny's makes an in-house waffle cone that is out of this world.
Yeah.
And you put gooey cinnamon roll ice cream in a hot waffle cone and it is dynamite.
I got the pint of gooey cinnamon roll or whatever it was. And it's not as good. It's not as good when it's.
Oh, I disagree. We get the pint all the time.
Oh, I did not. I like the salted peanut butter with chocolate flecks. Unbelievably.
Chocolate flakes.
No, it's flex.
Is it?
Yeah. Unbelievable. Let's talk a little bit about, it's good or bad, depending on who you are and who you like, but championship weekend, man, because we didn't podcast, Kev, we didn't podcast on Sunday. You know that. None of us were here. It was a day off for the boys. which, by the way, multiple people were like, hey, a little sad there's no podcast today, but we hope you enjoy your time off for the weekend. And a little bit of me was like, damn, we really got these people fiending for episodes on Monday and Thursday. Like they're locked in.
They also thought we might be dead, Kev.
And a lot.
I mean, that's always a valid line of thinking. It's possible.
Yeah, there's concerns for sure. George Kittle, touchdown in the fucking, maybe the biggest touchdown he's ever caught. I mean, I have to imagine. I don't know if he's ever caught a bigger touchdown than that. Jack Gervais.
It's tough to watch the game go down the way that it did.
Yeah.
As someone who had the Niners plus 3.5, I wasn't too upset about it. But
you're sick.
You're like my dad. It just doesn't matter. Just as long as the bet hits.
Hey, man, we got friends on both sides. You got to cheer with your money at that point.
It's true.
Good game, man. It was a good game. Dude, great football. I can't imagine how bad that safety feels for the Niners who dropped that.
Oh.
Just couldn't – they don't come easier in the NFL.
They don't come easier than that,
bro.
And I think – I don't know if they end up scoring I think they got a field goal on that drive.
They got a field goal, but then, you know, the game ended how it ended, so.
Is it more disrespectful that he's in the Super Bowl or the fact that Jake is wearing number 43 while he's doing it? He's wearing –
that is – actually truly hilarious at how bad Jake wanted to be Josie, and then now he's wearing 43 in the Super Bowl. And I didn't even think about that. That's pretty hilarious. I'm pretty shook up that Gervais is in the Super Bowl
wearing number 43.
Unbelievable, dude. Shout out Jake Gervais, Jack Gervais, Jack Gervais. Holy shit, bud, you're in the Super Bowl.
Guy was
same with AJ, man. Shout out to Alaric Jackson
and Alaric. I mean, both incredible stories, right? Jake this year, I mean, he was only put on active roster, what, a month ago? Like
2 months.
2 months ago? I mean, he's been up and down with the team. To some extent, he probably still doesn't feel great about how solid his spot is. I mean, he gets to play in the Super Bowl.
Bro, he's more sewer rats than the boys that bought the rat trap in college.
100%.
You can't...
He did an interview.
Coach Morgan saying, you can't kill a sewer rat.
Can't kill him. He's a cockroach. He's a sewer rat. He's the ants in the crack of your driveway.
And he's just beating the system right now, man. Incredible, man.
And the first thing we all said in the Benton Boys chat was, Jake Gervais is probably going to have a Super Bowl ring, and none of us are. None of us are, including Ike and Josie. That's interesting. And also, it's not only a troll to Josie. And
he's still going to charge too much rent for his house.
And his internet's still going to fucking suck. His Wi-Fi still doesn't have enough download per second.
Hey, you know what? That just made me think of something. Have I ever had Wi-Fi issues since I moved here?
No, not before.
So we can confirm that was a Gervais internet thing.
I mean, can we use that? Can we use the bonus money we're winning in the playoffs, Jake, to fucking upgrade the plan, man? Can we get it up there? You know, it's also a troll to Pat, because Pat is from the area as well, and Pat wore number 43. So at least, yeah, it is what it is. Pat's birthday was just a couple days ago, I believe.
Oh, shoot. That's my fault, Pat.
Yesterday. Happy birthday to Anger. And then Jackson Mahomes and Pat's loud-ass wife are finally exiting the picture because of Joe Burrow. He's so cold. The chain he wore into the stadium, unbelievable. The fucking swag that guy walks around. Is this guy the coolest motherfucker on earth or what?
He's like Joe Namath 2.0, to be honest.
And he keeps coming through. Like, nobody on earth feels more swag than Joe Burrow right now. I saw this hilarious tweet today. it was like a matchup. It's like, all right, Rams versus the Bengals. And it went down like receivers, offensive line, coaching staff, special teams, experience, home field advantage. It was like check, 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 check all the way for the Rams. On the other side of the graphic was just Joe Burrow in his coat with that chain walking into the last week's game. And honestly, the Rams maybe should be worried, man. I don't know.
Yeah, they should be worried. That's one of the best offenses I've seen in a while. If they can block anybody, that offense is going to give you trouble.
Yeah, your first part of that sentence is your problem because they got some dudes on that defensive line.
Hey, all right, you're right. That's an issue.
There ain't no chumps on the D-line for the Rams. I mean, we're talking.
They got some dudes in the back end too.
Yeah.
So, and I already placed my bet. You can tell by my last two sentences who I'm going with.
Ramsey is probably going to be on Jamar, right?
You'd think, yes. Yeah.
So that's an elite matchup, and God damn, it's going to be good football. It's going to be really good football. The Bengals are playing with house money. They have nothing to lose. They're not supposed to be here. And honestly, if you listen to DHT, I talked about how I was in Omaha for the weekend watching some club volleyball. I watched the end of the Chiefs Bengals game on my phone in a Spaghetti Works restaurant. And it was special teams again, baby. McPherson, Moneyball. And it was, I have nothing against the Chiefs, but it felt a little good.
Benjamin said he's going to be depressed about that one for a while.
Yeah, of course.
I can't imagine losing in the conference championship game ever feels good. No. Doesn't matter if you've been there every game of your career, Ben. You selfish bastard.
Yeah, you son of a bitch. Been there all 4 years. I mean, the conference title game that we played in didn't feel great when we lost.
So, I still lose sleep over it.
So PTSD from there. Yeah, it's I'm really excited. It's a really fun Super Bowl this year. There's no Tom Brady. There's no Chiefs. And it's just like also incredible stories all around because Stafford – leaves the Lions after a decade of just below mediocre, just
getting shit kicked out of him in Detroit.
I mean, the most wasted decade of a player. I'm sure there's others, but that's pretty bad. Year one, of course, the Rams have added other weapons, but, and here he is.
Yeah. Again. I mean, so here's one thing I thank goodness for the Rams, upper level management owner, yeah, like GM, because this was their year. Maybe next year they are fucked.
Oh, they're screwed.
5 years.
Yeah.
Big time.
Fucked.
They
don't have a first round draft pick till 2024.
Yeah. And eventually cap's going to hit and they're going to have to ship out all their players or something because. And that's – you play that game in the NFL, right? It's not
– Jack Gervais is going to be the starting middle linebacker.
The starting middle linebacker is number 43, an undersized kid out of Iowa, Jake Gervais. Oh, man. They'd be – I'll be honest. I love Jake. They're in trouble if Jake's starting. Let's just say
that. I love Jake, too, but I love ragging on him even more. It's like my favorite thing to do.
It's really, really fun.
And I only like Jake, so I love shitting on him. Just kidding, Jack. You're a great guy.
It's weird, though. I mean, I have this with – we have this with our college buddies. So that's obviously – it's Jake. I have this with my high school buddies, too. There's always the one friend in the friend group that everyone just loves to shit on. It's usually because they're the best at taking. What are you guys' thoughts on that?
In Gervais's case, that's not it at all. It's because – it's really fun to watch him get butt hurt over getting shit on.
Let's be clear. That was like an Obama. Let's be clear.
Kluver, you're also the one in the Benton chat that gets shit on.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I was going to say, let's not overlook in the core group of our age group that there's no one who has taken the massive amounts of shit that I have received really during my 4.5 years at Iowa, but then even since then, it's not even close. And I want to shout out Todd for preparing me for that and a few other coaches along my way. Al Jones, AU basketball coach. Been shit on my whole life. Okay. I was a little tubby. I have a butt chin. All right. Specialist. Like CrossFit. There's a lot of things you could bring up. You look like fucking Danny Zuko right now, Drake. That hair is wild. You are Elvis Presley in the chat. Anybody watching the YouTube, this is insane. The flow. I mean, I don't have hair. You know, let's highlight that. Drake does. That's unbelievable, dude.
That's pretty good, Drake.
You got it.
I think you're a case study that we can confirm that human shit is not fertilizer for human hair, because otherwise you'd have hair like Drake.
Absolutely.
Because people have been shitting on your head forever.
Forever, dude. Forever. And how good am I at just like, it just kind of rushes right over.
Yeah, that's why you turn into a sociopath.
That's definitely not true anymore, man. I cry at all kinds of shit now, and I'm thinking about other people. In fact, let's go over this, because I haven't had a chance to work this into the podcast. When I donated the money, the 17 grand at the end of last calendar year, the kids, I'm in contact now with a girl that works at the UI, Stead Family and Children's Hospital, and, you know, just sort of my contact for the ongoing work that we're doing together, right? She sent me, she's like, hey, we'll send you a bunch of points to shout out on the podcast if you want to like ever promote why you want people to donate and buy merch and all this stuff. The first time she sent me these, I read through them and I was bawling. I was just bawling. Like a baby. And like five.
Go ahead and read us one if you got them pulled up.
Yeah, I have them right here. You know, I don't know if there's anybody new here listening on this specific episode number 290. There's a lot of people who are already around. There's a lot of people who already signed up for the Walk-On Army. DHT merch coming soon, against Kevin's will. And this is what half of any money that goes to something that the Walk-Ons are doing goes directly to all of this right here. Last year, UI Stead Family Children's Hospital treated over 83,000 unique patients. To put this into perspective, Kinnick holds a little over 69,000. So the kids that they treat each year overflow the stadium. They have 190 patient beds in the new hospital and are currently operating at 100% capacity. 5 pediatric programs ranking in the top 50 in the nation, according to U.S. News and World Report. They treat kids from all 99 counties in Iowa, almost all 50 states, and over 8 countries abroad. For game day, each inpatient child in the UI Stead Family Children's Hospital is offered a ticket to the press box on the 12th floor of the hospital from the Child Life team. They stream the game into the big screen and, of course, do the Iowa wave after the first quarter. The child is allowed to bring their immediate family to the press box with them, where they can do activities and eat snacks and watch the game from the highest vantage point in Iowa City. This year, we did themed snacks and food for the patients. For example, during the gold out against Kent State, snacks were all gold themed. Nacho cheese, chips, mangoes, orange juice, and more. Organizing the wave parties is only one component of our Child Life team. Our Child Life specialists at UI Stead Family Children's Hospital focus on the emotional and developmental needs of children who are in the hospital. They utilize the use of play and distraction to help reduce stress and help children cope with potential emotionally damaging encounters. And the first time I read through that, I don't know, it must have been just the right moment, but I was like, fuck, like we just gave, like the army gave thousands of dollars to all of that right there. And pretty fucking cool.
It's all on you guys out there, all on the listeners.
So what else do I have here? I guess we're kind of running up on this. I want to mention this. Oh, one last thing. The Washington football team finally has a name. You guys see that?
Hate it. Don't like it at all.
Holy shit.
Should have kept
the commies.
The comp. Like, what are we doing? Every team has a nickname. And there's
the commies.
And you're either the commies or the Manders. And I don't know if they're a fan of the Corn Belt Cowboy, right? So it's probably
that's Mander's team, though.
He is from out there, isn't he?
No, yeah. he was a huge Redskins fan back in the day.
Absolutely.
Now they're
the Washington Manders.
It's the Washington Manders. It all came to fruition. Yeah, it's unbelievable irony. It's unbelievable.
We gotta have our man Manders back on the podcast sometime.
We do. He can't come on if his head's bleeding, because it just seems like 90% of the time it is. It
seems like it's perpetually bleeding.
I mean, god damn it, man.
Dude, imagine how many cells have been ripped out of his head via metal chair.
Worse than yours. Worse than yours for sure. We got a little bit of time. Let's cap this off with a couple questions that built up in the questions thread of the Discord, which you can join if you join the Patreon. Again, half of your donation, your subscription goes to all that stuff we just read for the kids. And the other half pays for perks like this. After listening to the last podcast, what do you guys do when the practice squad, the scout team he's talking about, aren't up to snuff? They're not, he's talking about, they're not putting
the coaches get after their ass, man. We don't have to do it.
What happens when they're not giving a good enough look, a specific guy or maybe the team in general?
We see fantastic fireworks via the coordinators.
He says, when they don't even come close to the freaks that you're going to see from the other team starters like Ohio State or Michigan. And then somebody added on to that. I like this question. Was there extra defenders, or did the practice squad get a head start somehow? Or what did they do? Imagine that, like the fucking scout team's just shit. So they throw 14 guys out there.
The important part is not them beating us on the play. The important thing is them being where they're supposed to be, where we expect the bodies to be when the bodies are flying. Like, it's not supposed to be full speed reps. We're not attacking these guys to try and sharpen our physical tools. We're trying to sharpen our minds so that we know exactly where we're going to be. And then you stay, you know, you don't get dull over the week. You do stay at least a little bit sharp, but it's not like you're trying to – iron's not sharpening iron on game week, you know?
I'll speak to the defensive side. It was pretty revved up. We were thudding pretty aggressively. I mean, if you listen to Jack's podcast, you know, it's pretty full tempo over there. But to Drake's point, it's more about you want them to give you a good look of guys being in the right spot, timing, that kind of stuff, seeing your run fits, seeing how routes are going to play out, how you're going to pattern match them. You're never going to see the level of competition you see on game day. I don't care if it's Ohio State or if it's New Jersey Institute of Technology, Sisters of the Poor. You're just never going to see that type of tempo on game day on the practice field that you see on game day. So it's really all about seeing formations, plays, that kind of stuff, knowing where you want to be when you want to be there.
And you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, but like, for those listening and kind of wondering about that question, to help the scout team, if it's the offensive scout team, they literally look at what looks like a Madden card where the routes are, they're literally, it's written out. Like they're looking at exactly what they're supposed to do. So there's no guesswork from them. They're in the right spot. The work that the first team is doing is not to beat them individually, right? That's an automatic, right? Like, guy gets to the next level, tries to block Jack Campbell. Jack's getting off that block, right? He's going to get to the ball. It's more about Jack gets to see where that guy's coming from.
Where that block's coming from. Getting off that block and being in the right fit.
Right.
So you're going in the A gap versus the B gap, vice versa. You know what I'm saying?
Right. And it's similar in a sense on the other side of the field, like where the offense is going against the scout team D. So, of course, there's always those people, and they usually end up, they usually end up being guys who contribute very, very soon after, who are fucking annoying on the scout team. I think Brady Ross was maybe one of the most annoying, at least from the conversations that I was privy to before he was a contributor on special teams or anything. People absolutely hated the guy because he went 200% on scout team and he was beating people one-on-one, and the guys on offense would get pissed because he was playing linebacker at the time, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So
it was the worst headache of all time, man. Dealing with that kid as a scout team player for a whole year was a nightmare.
And now he was scout team player of the week pretty often.
He was scout team player of the year.
He was, yeah.
Yeah. And the next year
he was defensive and special team scout team player of the year.
And the next year he was a Savage back. And that's what it is. And now he's the Benton Boys financial advisor and sits in an office all day. And
if he would just make a couple of hours time for his buddies, we could sit down and have a real fun podcast. But yeah, the asshole's just too busy every day of the week.
My goodness, getting married in about 50 days too. So
how about him getting those invites out mad late?
I mean, well, the wedding was just mad quick. It's like, who, like, pretty they turnaround, yeah, they're not messing around here. I don't even know if I'm gonna be able to make it. I think I fucking got something.
I don't know if I'm gonna be able to make it.
Shit.
I live 10 minutes away from the place, so I mean,
I don't know if you're going to be able to make it.
I'm going.
Don't show up.
Why not? Why would I not do that?
I don't know. Just fuck you to Brady for not coming on the podcast. Drake's
been on the podcast.
Drake said we're going to sell merch at his wedding. We're going to bring Cheeto Finger merch and DHT exclusive to Brady Ross's wedding. So if you can find it and figure out what day it's on, we'll have a table set up. Finally, I think we'll close it down here. Cause Drake was a little sensitive earlier about staying up too late. Three walk-ons were awarded scholarships. They were Turner Palisard, who is the backup to the legend Monty Potabomb. So both of our fullbacks are on scholarship now. We love that, right, Drake? Compensation for the CTE, and we love to see it. Mike Tim, who is a special teamer, played a lot of special teams, also had some flowing blonde hair. And then I don't know for sure if this is the kid's first name, but I believe it's Matt Fagan. I have to double check on that, but Fagan is his last name. I believe he's an offensive lineman. And he was awarded a scholarship as well. So
love to see it, boys. Love to see it.
You really, it makes your heart warm because you know, all three of us have been in that scenario where you get the, well, for me, it was just a text from Coach Bell. It wasn't really that special, but it was still special. it was just the most anticlimactic, like after 3 years.
Why was it KB?
I don't know. To this day, I do not know. Never talked to KF about a scholarship or anything. Only the year prior when he specifically brought me in to say, hey, we know you deserve one, but we're giving the last two to Cole Crofton and Riley McCarron. And that's just how it is. And I was like,
that's fair.
I was like, I get it, but this doesn't make me feel better.
We got one next year.
Yeah. The way I was told was in the middle of summer, I was walking out of the complex after a Wednesday summer training day. And I got a text along with another guy. It was a three-person thread. It came from Kelvin Bell. Don't know why KB was texting us.
Most random possible choice. I mean, right? Not your position coach.
It was almost like KF like was in the hallway of the coach's offices and the only guy in his office was KB. And so he's just like, hey, I'm fucking KB. Can you text these two guys quick? Tell them they're on scholarship. That's probably how it went. And so it literally said, Coach Ferentz needs you guys to go over to Carver and sign your scholarship papers later this afternoon. That's how I was told.
Were you mad about it though? Were you?
No, dude, I was in the indoor, you know, like walking with my backpack on. I just kind of stood there for a second and I was like, Not how I imagine this going. But I'll take it, huh? We'll take it.
Bring on the scally check.
Hell yeah. Spent that scally check on V-Bucks for Fortnite. And ice cream that I ate, which was a larger amount than Drake. And that's about it. So anything else you guys want to... Drake, how was Theo's show?
It was a pretty damn good time. The openers did a good job, and Theo killed. He had some material I'd heard before. But he opens up, dude, just walks out on stage. He's like, he just walks up on stage, he goes, so my cousin got bit by a gay guy.
He's so funny.
So, we'll see.
He's so out of pocket, dude. I love him. I love him so much. Honestly,
never did I think I was going to have Theo's number in my phone, but I do.
Crazy, right? I've got a couple people like that. Like,
you do some rolling with him?
Yeah.
Kev, you rolling? You still rolling?
I'm still rolling, man. It's fine.
How's it going?
See me rolling. How is it going, dude? I'm big time and interested.
But, you know, I'm like not good by any means of the imagination.
Do you play any guard?
A little bit, yeah.
What guard do you like?
I like full guard.
Okay. That's the perfect starting place.
Yeah. Is that where you suck the other guy's dick or he sucks you?
Kluver, I'm going to make you suck mine. Shut the fuck up, Carl.
Oh, see, here we go. He gives it out. He dishes it out, but he can't take it back because.
Nah, man. It's fun, dude. Everyone there is a great sport because everyone's been humbled by somebody. So, you know, you get tagged.
How many times have you been triangled?
Oh, a lot.
Dude.
It's the worst.
I said that in my first 3 months, I had been in more triangles than the Mayans.
What?
The Mayans.
The Mayans built the pyramids, you know, supposedly, and pyramids are triangles.
I think the aliens built the pyramids, dude.
Yeah, but it was a good joke.
Gotcha. Yeah, I recognize when someone's trying to put me in a triangle now so I can stop it. At first, I didn't know what the hell was going on, and it was just like, oh, I can't breathe.
My head feels like it's going to pop off.
Hey, take me to heaven, playboy. You know, that's what it is. That's 290. Hopefully we covered a lot. And hopefully you thought some of this was funny and enjoyable, and hopefully you keep coming back. We're 10 episodes away from big 300. And quite honestly,
we better have a good guest for us.
Yeah, that's on Tech Guy to find someone who's kind of big time. So we'll get there.
Shout out to DRF Sports, the sponsor of this show.
Thanks for listening. Episode 290. We'll catch you on Monday. Peace.